Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
So I once knew this guy named Larry.
Okay.
We called him Lair.
Uh-huh.
His last name was Itty. And people made fun of him in middle school for having a silly last name. But he came to me for dating advice. And he said, hey, I'm trying to find a suitor.
Yeah, and very long for interest.
And I could really use your help. You've been married for, like, ever. Yeah. And I said,
still listening? And...
Lair,
okay.
I think you're just going to be singular, Itty.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still.
Podcast that doesn't suck.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Right.
But black holes don't suck. They pull.
Okay.
Now I feel like Miss Frizzle when she's like...
You didn't... spoilers, man. What did she say?
She's like, Keisha, black holes don't suck. They pull. That's what she
would say. You know why she says that? Because she's professional. You know who's not? Miss Frazzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her arch nemesis.
Right. She's just like, idiot kids.
So I have 3 points that I got to get through before we begin this episode. The first is...
I'm going to start my first point. It might be the same as yours.
Yeah.
That we're intimately next to each other on a couch. Yeah. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I sent in some of our recording equipment in for repairs, which means we got this janky setup and we're really close to get together on... Oscar the couch.
Yep.
And if I go silent in the middle of a sentence, it means John put his hand on my knee.
Right. Is this also this is a good plug for our Facebook group where we named Oscar the couch.
Yeah, I think that it like got down to 3 and Shelby vetoed one of them. It was like
it was a 24
Kiefer sofa land.
Yeah.
But the second point is I just want to make a call out to some of my friends that were listening to our episode on CBD oil. And at the end, we went through and found the worst CBD oil products we could find. And I found a sexual lubricant.
Oh, good.
And they hate it when I say sexual lubricant. So I figured it'd be really fun to start the episode by saying sexual lubricant.
Okay.
What do you think?
Was that Josh?
No.
Okay.
It was some of my coworkers.
It was one of your coworkers that doesn't like sexual lubricant?
They don't like it when I say sexual lubricant.
Okay.
It's just me specifically. They don't like it when I say sexual lubricant.
Okay.
So I won't say sexual lubricant anymore.
Okay, you're gonna stop.
Which has nothing. Well, I was gonna say it has nothing to do with this episode, but it might.
Yeah,
into that.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll see how that
end
goes. Black holes pull.
The third point is.
I'm sorry. It's a family show, Nick.
Yeah.
Come on.
The third point is...
Well, that's how families are made. But what's your third point?
Why are we doing this episode, John?
Because black holes are awesome.
Exactly! I was like... So there's no reason, because we're too late on the photograph of the black hole, and there hasn't been, like, any news since.
Yeah.
But black holes are just awesome.
Right.
So we have to talk about them. So here we are, on Oscar the couch, talking about black holes.
Right.
So, John... What is a black hole?
It's a big pulley, right?
No, not at all.
It's a big nothing.
It's a big... Well, it's something.
It's like a...
It's like Kirby if he were
invisible.
A celestial body.
Okay, and
giant. Well, he's not invisible. Well, black holes aren't invisible. We just can't see it because there's no light escaping it.
Right.
So the briefest description that I can provide is that it is a supermassive ball just sort of chilling out in space that is so dense that people say it sucks things in. I like to say that it consumes anything that gets close enough to it, including light. And it is so massive that just if light comes near it, it sucks it in and the light can't escape. And I say some people, it doesn't suck things up like a vacuum. It's just if things get within a certain vicinity of it, then the gravitational pull is too much and it just like gets pulled in. It gets consumed. How else would you describe that?
It gets vored, is it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't Google that.
Don't Google that if you're a child. Also, don't Google any of the things I said earlier.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird episode, isn't it? We got a weird energy.
It's good. It's because it's intimate episode. It's,
yeah, I guess
I'll try not to touch your leg.
So, John, what if I told you there was a long time where we didn't even know if black holes were real? Well, I guess that wouldn't be obvious because, like, there was a time when...
Cavemen didn't think they were real.
we didn't know what science was. But I mean, like, we've taken a picture of a black hole now.
Yeah.
So the scientific community has widely agreed that black holes, much like the theory of gravity, do exist, or the M&Ms
in
that,
commercial. Photoshop existed longer than black holes, doesn't it? Isn't that weird? You ever think, makes you think, you know?
Yeah. Are you a flat earther now, too? What's going on here?
I'm a anti-black holer.
So I guess my real point is there was a period of time ever since the idea of black holes were conceived of, and now that people are like, black holes probably don't exist. So do you want to take a crack at when the first theory of black holes started to pop up? You gotta remember, like, the age of science and everything.
Yeah. Galileo looking into the stars and
Galileo.
Hey, look at that. There's nothing in this spot.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of swirly little stars going over.
What year was that?
1652.
What about
Galileo looked at the ocean, the sky blue?
I mean, you're kind of... What year did you say, 1652?
What did you say?
Well...
What were you going to say?
I was going to say 1795.
Right.
Which is 150 years after what you said, but you're close on something. So, in the 1680s, Isaac Newton published the theory of universal gravitation.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Galileo, Isaac Newton, same guy, yeah. Right? So in it, he said that everything that has a mass, or everything does have a mass, and everything, the more mass that something has, the stronger things are pulled toward it. So if you drop something, it'll fall towards the earth at 9.8 meters per second squared, which means for every second that passes after you drop a ball, or whatever, it will fall 9.8 meters.
In a vacuum.
In a vacuum, yeah. Well, I mean,
can't jump
even
further
on Earth. And then for every second, it'll also gain 9.8 meters per second of speed in its acceleration, so the next second it will fall 19.6 meters, et cetera, until it reaches a terminal velocity.
Which we could do an episode on, can you survive terminal velocity, falling at terminal velocity?
Yeah.
Which is not fun, but kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, we'll save that for another day. But if the Earth was slightly less massive, it would fall at like 9.5 meters per second squared. Or if it had more mass, it would fall at 10 meters per second squared. It's what keeps us on the ground, obviously.
It's why skydiving is more expensive on Mars.
A what?
Skydiving.
Oh, gotcha. Because it takes longer.
Yeah.
You can't get people through the line.
Right.
So you gotta like inflate demand or counteract demand with a higher price.
Thanks for explaining. Yeah, that's... Thank you.
So they found this fancy formula throughout time to calculate a gravitational force based on the mass of two objects and the distance between them. You could find out the gravitational force. But I say all this now because it'll make black holes easier to explain in a little bit. But using this knowledge and formulas, people started to think, well, if objects can pull in light, what if, and this was in 1795, a guy named Pierre Simon Laplace came along and said, what if there is a star so massive that you couldn't see the light because the light coming from the star couldn't escape the gravitational pull?
Yeah, poor guy.
What do you mean?
He's Laplace. He was just legs all the way up. You know?
Couldn't use a laptop. 1795.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the ideas of black holes. A lot of people there are a couple of people that thought about this besides him, and everyone's like, whatever. But then, in the 1900s, they started to gain some credibility thanks to a man named... The 1900s?
Oh, the 1900s?
Yeah.
I'm lost, man. I'm trying to keep up
you're
with
lost
you.
Lost in my eyes.
I'm just thinking about Laplace. In the 1900s.
Yeah. Cool mustache.
Oh.
Crazy hair.
Einstein.
Yeah. Albert Einstein. He came along with his fancy theory of relativity. He came along with his big brains and fancy mustache and said, you know what? I think there's more to this gravity stuff. And he said, I don't think that it's the Earth enacting on me. I think that the Earth is so massive it's bending space-time. And I think the easiest way for me to explain this is just imagine like a flat blanket, right? If you like roll a marble across that blanket, it's going to go in a straight line. That's how particles interact with the universe in on a flat plane. But if you took like the Earth and set it in the middle of that blanket, that had to be a really big blanket, but then you throw that marble, once it gets close to the Earth, it's going to start moving toward where the Earth
created. Yeah, just put a pool ball in the middle. It's easier.
No, we need the Earth.
Okay, fine. Jeez.
So the Earth will create this divot in the blanket, and when the marble gets close to that divot, it'll start to get pulled toward the Earth, right?
Just like the moon.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, and then one day it'll fall into us and crash.
Great. Like the ending, or not the ending, the part of the time machine where...
And Majora's Mask?
Oh, sure. Okay. I went with some like real literature, and you went with nerdy nerd stuff.
Oh, video games aren't art, I forgot.
Right. So... That's a whole episode.
Yeah.
So just imagine that blanket is space-time, and the farther the blanket is sunken in, obviously the faster that marble will be pulled in toward the object in the middle of it. And also, as a side note, I think our bonus episode for next month is going to be on relativity, because it only comes up like twice in this episode, but I spent a lot of time trying to understand it.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about what I think it means.
It's when you got relatives. It's not like,
yeah,
my cousins are,
you go to a family reunion.
Yeah.
In Einstein's theory of relativity, it also states that the faster you approach the speed of light, the slower time is perceived for you. You experience time faster. Wait,
pause this
on.
And watch Inception. I mean, Interstellar. It's the same
Interstellar,
thing.
Yeah. It's not. The faster you go, the slower time goes for the person experiencing going toward the speed of light. Right. And actually, we'll talk about Interstellar in just a little bit. But anyway, eventually people said, hey, you know what that means, right? There could be something so massive that theoretically light wouldn't be able to escape it. So you take that blanket, instead of the Earth, you put an object like 10 million times more, 100 million times more dense than the Earth.
Donald Trump.
You take Donald Trump, you put him in the middle of this blanket, and the rate at which the marble approaches the object will hit or exceed the speed of light, which means the pull is greater than the rate at which light could escape the pull, meaning light can no longer escape it, and as a side effect, time will slow to a stop for that particle.
Cool, so what are we doing dying like idiots? Why don't we just go quick? Why is Sonic... I mean, Sonic's got the right idea, you know? He's gotta go fast,
right, yeah.
And you live forever.
So that's what a black hole is doing. But okay. The other thing is, if you're going towards the speed of light, you will be pulled into it for infinity,
mm-hmm.
forever. We don't really know what happens when you go into a black hole.
But if you're getting sucked in and you are watching the Earth while it's mm-hmm. happening, don't you see the Earth like explode, basically, because you watch it go through millions of years of changes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like a second for you would be like infinity time on Earth.
Yeah, but you'll also be spaghetti noodle man.
So. Yes, so that's some of the theories. So obviously we don't know because we haven't gone to a black hole and it's all theoretical, but time would probably stop for you. You could be crushed into the size or the area of an atom. You could be turned into spaghetti noodle because different particles of yourself are entering the event horizon at different times, so then they're going to be pulled apart and spaghettiized into this black hole. You'll be turned into spaghetti for eternity. How's that sound?
It sounds like
you're Italian. I mean,
well, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Have you heard about it, Betty?
Betty?
Betty Spaghetti.
Betty Spaghetti.
Got sucked into a black hole. Sad. I have a question for you.
Yeah,
go I have two it. Questions for you.
Yeah.
Black holes don't let light escape.
Right.
Are they black?
They are the absence of light.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
So they have no color. Are they holes?
They are spherical.
Okay, so it's a big lie.
Yes, they are.
All right.
Absence of light spheres. Is that a better name?
That's way catchier.
I've even, like, as I was researching this, people are like, imagine the event horizon is the opening of the black hole. And I'm like, that's not even right either, because it's a sphere of space around the black hole that if you pass through it, we'll get into the parts of it.
And we know they're a sphere because of our picture and because of the way that it sucks light in from all angles.
Well, because of gravity. Gravity pulls things into a center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that all planets are spherical is because the gravity of a celestial body is constantly trying to pull it in. And all of the particles will experience the same pull at the same rate, so it creates a spherical shape.
Whenever I think about this, and then my brain starts melting a little,
yeah.
I think, like, that's pretty nuts. And then I remember, isn't being alive weird? Like,
yeah, it's pretty weird.
We can discover this and talk about it, and then play video games and stuff.
Does all that make sense so far?
Yes.
Cool. So I'm going to do a mini recap.
Okay.
Just like, to refresh my own brain. Black holes are just so massive that when things get close to it, the gravitational pull so hard that the speed of which is faster than the speed of light, meaning light can no longer escape it, etc., etc. And when I say massive, I assume some people will think that I mean big. And it is big, but I mean that it has just a crap load of mass in a tiny little space.
Mm-hmm.
And I can never wrap my head around these things when people say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. the sun is one solar mass. It's how we determine, or just, it's a shorthand for how massive other objects in the universe are.
That's how we measure things from Earth, because our sun is a lot smaller than most.
Yes, it's a medium-sized star, but it takes up, or it accounts for 99.86% of the entire mass of our solar system. That's how massive the sun is.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of different types of black holes, but there's a black hole, theoretically, at the center of our galaxy called Sagittarius A, and it's about the size of of 40% of our solar system, but it's 4.3 million times heavier than the sun.
Wow.
So that's what it takes for a black hole. There are like some black holes that are like 10 times, 100 times more massive than the sun. But like, if you're going to be a supermassive black hole at the center of a galaxy, you have to be millions of solar masses.
Yeah, our brains aren't like... I feel like we're at a level where we're not fit to comprehend that. Yeah. We're not built to understand that.
Absolutely
yet.
Not.
Yeah.
When
we evolve, like, in thousands of years, we're not going to understand that.
Yeah. Like, these numbers just mean nothing at this point. But there's also, like, there's a YouTube channel I watch called Corridor Digital. I think I talked about them last week. But they also, they're visual effects artists. So they try to help people visualize how big objects are in the universe using things that you know. Like, here's the size of a skyscraper, and then they zoom out and they're like, here's the size of the moon, whatever. But earlier you joked about going and watching Interstellar. That's not actually a bad idea.
Yeah, because they did so well with the effects, it actually helped the scientific community.
Yeah, so I thought this was just like rumors to generate hype. Also, my brother said it, so anything he says I think is just blown out of proportion. But
it's so easy for you to get away with saying that because you have two brothers and you never specify which one.
But you're right. The special effects artists on that movie took like numbers and plugged them into their CGI machine, and it pumped out what you see in the movie. You see the sphere with like light and stars bending around it and that disc and stuff. And they noticed like objects would be behind the black hole and being bent around the black hole. And they're like, that doesn't seem right. So they went to a physicist and he's like, no, that looks right. That should be what it looks like. And so they published a paper saying what they did and what they discovered based on simulations of a black hole. And all this is great, but where do black holes come from, John?
Oh, man. Where do they come from?
Yeah.
Dead stars, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something funny, like when a mommy black hole and a daddy black hole get together, the stork, they wish really hard and a stork brings them a new black hole.
They wish on a dead star.
Yeah. So some of them we believe were probably formed when the universe was formed. Some can also be formed when two stars collide.
There you go. So you're right.
Yeah. So these are called intermediate black holes. They're not, I mean, they're kind of massive. They're kind of in between stellar black holes and supermassive black holes. The supermassive black holes are the ones that are at the center of the galaxy, but the, like Sagittarius A, but the most common ones are stellar black holes. Stellar meaning
cool.
Star. Yeah. Stellar meaning the improv group.
Yeah, I think they're all stellar, dude.
They come from stars, so going back to those, they're already incredibly massive, and like I said before, the sun is almost the entire mass of our solar system, and as How Stuff Works put it, the star's gravity is constantly trying to collapse in on itself. Like I said before, why objects in space are spherical, because it's trying to collapse in on itself, but the star keeps having these fusion reactions, keeping it alive, and keeping it from collapsing in on itself. Once the star runs out of fuel, the gravity starts to compress in on the core, like, really hard, which causes it to heat up because of energy transfer, and an average star like ours will just become a red giant. It's become really hot. It'll eventually get really big. A star that's at least like 3 times bigger than our sun will explode and become a supernova. And during a supernova, a bunch of radiation and energy is blasted out into space, but that super compressed core is left behind, and that will become a black hole.
Terrifying,
right? Not weird. It's so like this stuff is so cool.
Yeah.
So there's that core is actually called the singularity, and then there is an area around the black hole that I've talked about a lot called the event horizon, and that's the point at which gravity begins pulling at you at such a rate that you just can't escape it.
Yeah, and you don't need eyes anymore.
Well, yeah, time stops.
And also, there's a movie called Event Horizon where Sam Neill, I think.
What?
Jurassic Park boy.
What? I haven't seen it. I just know Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it. I think I own it. It might be over there.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's not in Event Horizon.
What am I thinking of? Total Recall is what I'm thinking. Why am I thinking of Total Recall?
You couldn't recall it.
Oh my god. So if the black hole is spinning, it can retain the spin of the rotation the star had when it collapsed.
Uh-huh.
If it's spinning, it can create an ergosphere, which is this lens around the black hole that drags like space and space-time around the black hole, like you see in Interstellar. Also in Interstellar, there's that iconic glowing white disk around it. That's called the photon sphere. It's created from like super hot and supercharged plasma rotating around the black hole. And then there's the accretion disk, which is also probably part of that disk that you see. It's just made up of super hot dust and gas. And both of these generate light. The accretion disk emits like static electricity and different types of radiation, and most notably X-ray waves, which is good for us because that's the main way that we can observe these things.
Cool.
Because,
Well, also, I always thought growing up that black holes don't let anything escape ever.
Yeah.
But then there were new studies that show that things can escape from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a certain range at which, like, in the ergosphere that you can escape. There are some that just aren't strong enough that you could, like, use the speed generated by the black hole to escape it, that sort of thing. All of this is theoretical, so we don't even know, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I love it, and we're getting better and better at studying them, but you can't just, like, look up in the sky with a telescope and see one of these things.
Yes. This is one of these things that, like, there's nothing more interesting in the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like, whenever I get depressed about the world that we live on or whatever, I think, just wait 40 years, man. You're going to find out cool stuff about black holes.
Yeah, yeah. there's also the famous picture that we took. That took 5 petabytes, and I think 1 petabyte...
Can we look up the name of the scientist that did that?
Yes, please.
The woman?
You do that, but one petabyte, I believe, is 1,024 terabytes, which is 1,024 gigabytes. So it's they had it on a bunch of hard drives, and they had to fly it on a plane. They couldn't, like, upload it to the cloud or anything. That's how big this thing is. And what we got was like a super blurry image of probably the photon sphere in the accretion disk.
Katie Bowman,
yep. So up to this point,
she's 29.
Yeah.
She's a 29-year-old computer scientist.
She's a year older than me, and that's just crazy. What have I done with my life? I've talked about the work that she's done. So up to this point, how do you think we observed black holes, other than what I've already told you?
Other than what you... Oh, man. Guesses.
Yeah. So here's what NASA's website says, and I love this. Okay, ready? NASA is using satellites and telescopes that are traveling in space to learn more about black holes. These spacecraft, this is their official website, help scientists answer questions about the universe.
Oh.
That's all they had to say. So how stuff works had a few better explanations. We look for mass, gravitational lensing, or radiation. So, with mass...
That tone was almost like, what more do you want, you idiots?
You're not going to understand
what
we say
science,
anyway.
You dummies. Or you want me to tell you about the singularity and the math behind it?
Yeah. So if we look for mass, I guess a good way to put this in perspective is everyone knows that everyone knows that the Earth and the Moon are constantly pulling on each other. That's where we get tides. Can't think of that. But they're wobbling back and forth. So scientists can look up in the sky, and I mean, we could, by observing the gravitational pull enacted on the Earth by the Moon and the Moon by the Earth, we can calculate the mass of those objects. So if we look up in the sky and we notice that there's something kind of wobbling, kind of funky, we can calculate the mass of the thing that it's orbiting. And if it's massive enough to be a black hole, it could also be a neutron star. It's a little bit of guesswork, but we can figure out how massive that object's going to be. That's one way that we can figure out where a black hole might be. The other is kind of boring. It's just radiation emissions. Like I said, the accretion disk just throws out a bunch of x-rays. And if we look up into the night sky, we see a bunch of x-rays coming from a singular point. We know that either some giant alien broke his bone and is trying to take an x-ray of
it. Yeah, he's like a cool skeleton man up in the stars.
Or it's a black hole. But my favorite thing is gravitational lensing.
Dude, wouldn't it be scarier if skeletons are real?
Don't joke, dude.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's almost Halloween.
We'll save that for next. Our skeletons real. We'll do that next month.
Yeah. So gravitational lensing is—it's like I said before with the interstellar guys, they would see objects behind where the black hole was supposed to be, like around the edges of this black hole, or not where they expected them to be. And this is thanks to gravitational lensing, and the black hole will just bend space around it. And one way that this helps us observe where black holes might be is if we're looking out at something way out in space, and all of a sudden it gets closer, or it gets brighter, or it comes into focus more. A black hole likely passed in between where that object is and where we are within that span of time. We might also
big invisible magnifying glass.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
We might also see two objects just like brought closer together than they were previously, just all of a sudden, and that could be thanks to this lensing stuff. So
that makes me want to buy one of those photo balls, those glass balls that you use for photography.
Oh yeah.
So like I imagine black holes are like when they do that.
Yeah. So John, why does any of this matter?
Because it's made of matter.
Trick? No, I just think this stuff is super cool.
And yeah,
we haven't talked about anything this awesome in a long time, so here we are.
Good. This is very, like I could do a 5-hour episode on black holes.
Yeah,
you couldn't. You're doing the research right now.
Yeah, I'm looking this up as we go. Do you have anything else to say for yourself?
They're not black. They're not holes.
Yep.
They're absence of light spheres.
Yep. Absence of light spheres.
Love them.
Good stuff. Should we take a quick break?
Take a break, and when we come back, you're going to tell me your top 3 favorite black holes.
All right. Sounds great. John!
What, dude?
Where can people find us?
You can find us in the review section on iTunes.
Yeah, just leave us a review, and that'd be awesome of you.
5-star minimum, get it done. That's how we get it searched.
It is. I mean, yep. You can also go to, like, flyingmachine.network and find all of the great shows on our network. You can go to patreon.com/flyingmachine. Kick a few bucks our way. It makes it so that we can send things in for repair. But then you get episodes like this.
Yep.
So, sorry. also, while you're over at flyingmachine.network, you should check out the newest show, which is The Losers. They talk about Oscar movies and Oscar nominees and compare the two to see which one, if the one that won the Oscar should deserved it or if one of the nominees.
So do you think that they would do an episode with Oscar the Grouch and Oscar the Couch?
We'll have to convince them. Well, first they'll have to be nominated for an Oscar.
Okay.
And then I'm sure that they will.
Okay.
They also, speaking of Muppets, they recently talked about Oscar. I guess he's a Muppet. Anyway, they talked about some other movie and the Muppet movie. I don't remember what the other movie is. I can
doesn't matter, does it? Any movie that's not the Muppet movie is not the Muppet movie. Keep that in mind.
It was Norma Rae, but they talked about it was the songs from the movies. I don't remember if it was from Norma Rae, but the song from the Muppet movie was The Rainbow Connection. And after I listened to that episode, I had that song stuck in my head for like 2 weeks.
It's
and like, now it's back. It's
it
probably
up.
Gonna I love that song. And there's so many like covers of it on like iTunes or wherever that you can just never get sick of that song.
I once tried to find clips of Jordan Peterson to make him sing it. That's Kermit. I never finished it.
Because he sounds like Kermit?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I don't know the words.
Yeah, I'm glad you did your research.
Yeah.
You wanted to know my three favorite black holes.
Right.
And I'm not furiously Googling.
Okay, well, you're an idiot because mine are, X longitude 52.3, Y longitude 53.5, black hole ABA C123.
Okay.
That's my first favorite.
Oh, that's a really good one.
My second one, I'm just making this up, dude. I figured you couldn't answer it, and that's why I asked you.
I can't even find a list of black holes.
We just took a picture of one. Okay, how about this? What's the one black hole that we took a picture of's name?
Derek.
Okay, well, that was pretty easy.
What is it?
Do you know it, dude?
No, what is it? Katie Bowman.
Sure. It should be. No, it doesn't have one. It doesn't have one.
They haven't asked it. They haven't, like, approached it to ask its name yet, huh?
Right. We're just taking baby steps, dude. You know when you first start dating someone and you start by first looking at them through binoculars from far away?
Yeah.
And then you work the courage to start following them home.
Yeah.
That's where we're at with black holes right now.
Oh, God. I don't think we can recover from that. So I am still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.